B-Pod Studios.
That's an app.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Far corner, Cizikas had it, lost it. Islanders get it back. Out of the boxes, DeBrusk might have a breakaway. He'll scamper into the slot, forehand, shoots, he scores! Jake DeBrusk rambled down the slot, had an extra step, and he just whipped one right over the glove hand of Robin Leonard. What a shot, 4-0 Bruins.
Shout out to Touch and Rich as well. They'll tell me if I don't do this. And thank you guys.
Happens every single time. Jake DeBrusk, it's the TNR bump. It's real. Even the Bruins tweeted about it, saying this is a real thing. Every time we have him on, the guy goes off. But really, you can give credit to the entire Bruins team last night. That was one of the most complete games I've seen them play all year long against a team that was in the lead of the Metropolitan Division, and they just embarrassed them on their own ice. Bruins end up killing it last night. 5-0 defense, scoring, everything you wanted. You saw it. David Pastrnak, his return, and he looked fine. But with us right now is, of course, the one of your six, Dale Arnold over there on Nesson, Mr. Billy Jaffe. Good morning.
That was their most complete effort of the year. The Tampa game was awesome a couple of weeks ago, but you know, you take into the consideration what it was. I mean, that's more of a rival. That was at home, so the energy level is even greater. Although, as I said the same thing on the air last night, Rich, there's a lot of Bruins fans at the Coliseum. I call it the Coliseum, not the new name. I don't even know exactly what it is. But anyways, at the old Coliseum, there's a lot of Bees fans there.
Yeah.
So it's nice, but it's not the same as being at the Garden. And here you are. Remember, Tampa came in and had played 3 games in 4 nights. Not an excuse. Reality of the regular season. But both these Bruins teams and the Islanders were rested after day off.
Mm-hmm.
Bruins went in there and left. I mean, their defensive structure, it wasn't like they were sitting back being boring. They were just stick lengths apart, transitioned up the ice, and then and absolutely kicked the ass of the Islanders last night.
Causing turnovers.
Thoroughly.
I think the first period, correct me if I'm wrong, they only allowed 2 shots on goal.
Yep.
Second,
8 attempts total.
Jesus, man. And I think the second quarter was 6 shots on goal, and it was suffocating. They were causing big turnovers, and on top of that, you got to see David Pastrnak.
13 shots for the entire game.
Was it 13 total?
For the game that reached the net.
What did they do? I mean, because obviously, I don't want to take anything away from what the Bruins did.
Yeah, yeah.
But
do it.
What the hell was going on with the Islanders? Because this was a team I think we were sold going into it. This was going to be one hell of a game.
Okay.
There's a lot of firepower. A
few things. First of all, they're not a high firepower team. What they are, Rich, is they make you work your ass off to get through, to get towards the net. They have implemented a different system this year where they have, because they lost John Tavares, where they say, all right, look, we're not going to be a team that's going to run and gun and open it up. With Barry Trotz in the helm, the new head coach there, we're going to bring the players back. We're going to almost, at times, if you watch them, it's almost like they have a V-shaped formation at times in their own zone. You can't get through the layers to get to the net. Now, they'll give up shots from the perimeter, but they won't give up shots interior-wise. That's their MO. Rich, I think a couple of things have happened. One, the Bruins were better, first and flat out, much better.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a better team.
Yeah.
Two, I believe the Islanders are tired because it's a tiring way to have to play regularly. I think eventually when you're constantly thinking defense, deep, meaning like, oh, no, it's different than saying we're going to play great defense, but we're going to go. They're just thinking, oh, okay, we got to protect. I think it's just a tiring way. And I think they've overachieved an awful lot this year. I do. I think when the Bruins came out with the depth of their team and every day, now that you get DeBrusk back, now that you get Pastrnak back, you have Charlie Coyle. All they're waiting for now up front is Marcus Johansson, and they've got their full complement of top-tier players, or forwards. Still waiting for a couple of D, but you're looking at the lineup and you're saying, this is pretty, you know, it's not perfect, but it's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Pretty deep, and I think that the waves that they come at teams, I think that's tiring as well. And that's what we saw with the Islanders. And the Bruins gave them no chance. Once the first goal that was scored by Corrali was not a great goal.
Robin Leonard
should have had it.
Yeah, he should have.
It's a crappy goal, but they took advantage of it.
Yep.
How many times have we seen a team score a touchdown, get a hoop, whatever, and they shouldn't have kind of, you know, you're like, oh, they're okay, they're fine, they're going to be great, and then the next thing you know, their intensity goes right down. Bruins actually ramped up their intensity after that not good goal, and they went on a mission last
night. Was it Achari that had the goal right in front? I mean, the turnover that happened. Dude, that was just awesome. I mean, but the other thing, too, is that everyone was kind of keeping an eye on was seeing how Pastrnak was going to fare coming back. And, I mean, he looked fine. I mean, he obviously wasn't on the stat sheet, but I thought he looked all right. Didn't look slow.
No. Oh, God, no. Look, when you got a thumb injury, you can still skate.
Yep.
And once he was healed, Kim Brandvold, who is the Bruins, you know, he's fantastic, just a phenomenal guy and a great skills and strength or skills and skating instructor. He takes these guys onto the ice, and especially when the team isn't in town, they have a little more ice time.
Yeah.
So here we go, boys. You know, it sucks being injured for the emotional part, but also because Kim's going to go out there and kick your ass. He's going to take you out there, and he's going to skate you. And so Pastrnak's been skating, and you know he looked great in that regard. He tried to handle the puck an awful lot. Pasta will do that at times. Turned it over a couple times. Pasta's going to do that. That's just part of him being him. Mm-hmm. But he looked good. He looked fine. I mean, he has no issues with strength and no issues with discomfort in the hand. That's the best thing. And you know what? Here, he didn't have to play 18 minutes. I love that.
Yeah.
He got, what, 14, 15 minutes? I loved the ability for Bruce Cassidy and his staff to really dole out proper minutes to everybody last night.
Did anyone on the Nesson staff focus in on any passes or anything? Because you want to see just how he's faring.
We showed him handling the puck. We didn't focus in on it. Because he was fine. We were looking for it, though.
Yeah.
Of course, you look. That's what you do, right? We overanalyze everything in this world of ours now. That's what we do. But he was fine. I mean, you know, he swooped up the ice. I believe it was the second period. He came up the ice in a regroup, and he tried to stick handle through two or three guys. He lost the puck not because he's got a recovering, you know, thumb injury.
It's
because there were two other players there, and he tried to stick handle around the third one. So, you know, that's all right. But, no, he looked good. He looked good. Team looked good. And I love the fact they got 3-0 without needing Bergeron and Pastrnak and Marchand to score.
All right, let's go to Brian. Brian on line one. What's up, man? You are with Billy Jaffe.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey.
Good morning.
Hey, I tell you, Rich, right now, last night was no monkey business. They had the big guns firing like a firing squad. And it wasn't just the veterans. It was the youth gone wild last night.
That was three Skid Row references in one sentence. Very good. Very good. You should have said, you know, as far as Jake DeBrusque, I remember you saying that he's going to get the TNR bump. You could have gotten a fourth song in there. I remember you as an easy one, my friend, to throw in there.
Hey, Billy, can I just ask you something that happened at the start of the second period? All right. Look, I become more of a serious fan of the NHL just because moving back and it's part of my job now. But I just I don't know if there's unwritten rules or that dynamic that happened at the start of the second period.
It actually started in the first period.
Okay. But I find it fascinating, and maybe for people that don't understand how hockey works, explain what happened there.
What you're referring to, Ted, is the Matt Martin challenging Zdeno Chara to what is that's legitimate heavyweight fight. And the scary thing is that Matt Martin, who I've known since I was with the Islanders organization. When Matt Martin was drafted, and he was a huge man then, he's now filled out to 6'3", 6'3 and a half, 220-something pounds. And he's just, now he's big, he's strong, you know, and he's tough. And he's a fantastic person and a phenomenal fighter. But he looks tiny next to Chara.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, it's literally like, you know, you're looking up at your father, right?
You know,
when you're four. So at the end of the first period, with the Islanders being dominated by the Bruins, down just 1-0, but down, Matt Martin goes in on a forecheck. There's a whistle in the left wing corner, it was the Bruins' right D side, but we'll call it the Islanders' left wing corner. And there's a whistle. There's a little bit of contact, nothing extraordinary, but you could see Martin starting to talk to Zdeno Chara and say, "Hey," and you could see Chara turn his head and look back at him a little bit, and by no means am I a lip reader, or was I right there, but I can tell you that what the comment was there was Matt Morrow said, "Hey, you want to go? We're going to get you going.
Give him a heads up.
And then Chara looked at him, you could tell, and Z kind of shrugged a little bit, not like I don't care. It was, okay, you know, that's just his reaction because Zdeno's processing it right there. And so that's part of, there's the organic fight, Ted, where literally you have the spontaneous combustion, gloves are off, and all hell breaks loose, right? And then there's these kind of, listen, Matt Martin is a veteran now, and he says, I'm doing my job because my team has sucked.
Yep.
We need a lift.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put myself on the line, literally, to go against the biggest beast in the NHL. I'm going to try and get my team going. And then come out second period There was a look. There was something. Yep. And Martin said, yes.
The thing, the piece that fascinates me, and I thought, that's why I love hockey, because it's just this dynamic right here. So Chara says, agrees to it.
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
Yeah.
But Chara's basically obliging Martin in this little thing that's going on to get his team fired up. Chara's because, saying it's okay for me to kind of help.
Okay, you know, you're right, but he also, there's a challenge there that Zdeno has to take into consideration, and other people may have heard it, but Zdeno's also saying, and there's some great quotes this morning. I encourage people, if they're into it, read it. And, you know, Zdeno says, I respect him. He's always played the game the right way, and I'm paraphrasing what he said. He's played it the right way. He's done it. He's done things the right way. I understand, and I will accept that challenge. And basically, Zdeno saying, I accept that challenge on behalf of my team.
Spoken like a man who could murder anyone.
Right. And that's the other thing. So because Matt Martin is as honest as could be as a player, yeah. He's not a cheap shot artist. And by the way, Matt Martin has now fought two of the biggest badass Bruins in the last couple of years. Go on YouTube. It was Adam McQuaid a couple of years ago. Look it up when Matt Martin was at Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! Did McQuaid catch him?
What year was that?
I don't know if somebody can. It was a couple of years ago. So he got him.
Yeah.
And so I get a text literally right after that fight last night, and it's from Jake DeBrusk's dad, Louis. Okay, Louis is a good friend of mine, and I've worked with him on TV. But he's also a former NHLer. His role in that era was really as an enforcer. We don't have that role anymore. But that his role was to be the guy that ran roughshod out there to make sure it was that nuclear deterrent, so to speak.
Yeah.
And anyways, he texts me and he says, "Oh wow," he said, "I'm getting nervous just watching that." And again, I'm paraphrasing. He says, "I remember thinking about it, reminding me of when I had to fight Chara, and I'm so scared because you know going into the fight that you can't get inside." And he took a screenshot and it showed the extension of Chara and the length and Martin in full punch, and he's punching air.
Yep.
And he's punching air, and he said, "It reminded me of that, and it scares me because I remember that feeling." And I wrote back, "I know." And he knew that, and he still challenged him. I said, "That's nuts." And he said, "Yes, love hockey."
Whoa. Okay, so I didn't know that, and that's obviously something I need to bring up next time Jake's on. I didn't realize his dad, I guess it was in 98, fought Zdeno Chara.
Right, when Z was a youngster.
Yeah, I had no idea that they had fought each other.
Well, yeah, not only they fought, but look at the amount of scraps that Big Lou's had. And by the way, happy birthday, Big Lou. I know you're not listening. He's in Alberta right now, but it was his birthday yesterday.
It was, and DeBrusk gave him credit for the goal last night. But, you know, he's already given us credit.
Big Lou is a big, strong man. Now, Matt Martin's actually bigger than Louis DeBrusk. There's guys like Ty Domi, if you go back to the annals of hockey scraps. Ty's small. He's got the hugest forehead and chiseled forehead. Like if you punch it, guys would hurt their hand actually. It had the big brow, the ledge. But he was small but so strong. He was one of those guys that got inside on guys that were much bigger than him. But very few can do that. He was so inside Ty Domi that he would uppercut you and catch you on your chin regularly. But Chara is so strong. He opens up, or he stances right, you know, and he just separates himself with his reach. And I give Matt Martin a ton of credit. It's crazy as all heck, but I give him a ton of credit for doing that.
All right, we'll take your calls for Mr. Billy Jaffe, 617-779-0985, and we'll talk about last night's, as Billy calls it, the most complete win for the Bruins this season.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Smart speaker in your home or office? Just say, "Hey Google, play 98.5 The Sports Hub."
It's amazing.
And listen to Boston's Home for Sports. Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, "Play 98.5 The Sports Hub."
This conversation took place in the first period. Chara with a right hand. Martin holding on. Chara with the right. Martin with the right. Chara another right. Chara with a jersey jab. Char with a right. Char with a right hand. That staggered Martin. He tries to throw a couple of right hands. That hit Char in the shoulder. Char right hand. Char trying to get the right hand free. Char with a body blow. Char with another left. Char with a right. Martin staying in there. Char right. Char right. Martin holding on. And then Char knocks him down.
985 of Sports Hub. It's Touch and Rich, Billy Jaffe in studio. We got Joe Murray and Ted Johnson as well. You were talking about Adam McQuaid. Adam McQuaid, when he fought, was the only guy that I think actually could have been borderline insane. Because he would, because, you know, Chara fights and, you know, it's Zdeno Chara there. Kevin Miller fights, it's still Kevin Miller. When Adam McQuaid would fight, he would all of a sudden turn into, like, he would start smiling. You ever notice that? He smiles when he fights. And I would just think at that moment is almost like in his head, all he hears is, woo, and just start seeing rage, red everywhere. But he is probably one of the scarier guys I've seen throw fists that the Bruins have had in a while. I mean, there
no
were
question.
And there may have been better fighters, but he to me looked like he just went to a zone that I don't want to be any part of.
The smile guy that smiles at you.
Yeah.
The crazy.
Like, oh, yeah.
They're crazy.
He didn't even realize, though, that he he's still playing for Columbus. It's a little bit of, it's a smirk that I think is just the natural facial expression that he has when he does that.
Well, I don't
know. Adam,
it's like, I know I'm going to kill
him. Well, yeah, because
and Adam, I'm going to enjoy
that combination of size, of length, and of, you either born with it or not. And I fully admit, I wasn't born with it, where he just says, yes. Let's go.
Right.
And that's only in that moment. The switch is flipped. Every other moment, he wouldn't hurt a fish.
Sure.
He would
super
not.
Nice
he
guy.
Wouldn't. A goldfish, he wouldn't. He'd pick it up. He'd probably give it CPR and put it right back into the bowl.
And that makes him even scarier.
Exactly.
Because then he's Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Oh, you know? My God.
Because then he's like the sweetest guy.
He's
and then
the
all
sweet.
Of a sudden, you're ripping the hair out of somebody.
Oh, my God. He'll just kill you.
All right. So real quick, I have to get to this because we mentioned this yesterday. We had Mike Matros, who is the organizer for the Heroes Cup hockey tournament that they do every year. It's a great thing. It's
awesome tournament.
It raises tons of money for charities. It's firefighters.
I love to play in it.
That's there exactly what I mentioned.
Ding, but ding. It's hard because I think it's the 5th, 6th, 7th, or 6th, 7th, 8th. I don't have it in front of me.
14th and the 15th. April 14th.
Oh, is it later?
Is it 14th or 15th of April? 13th through the 15th of April.
Oh, okay, well, the one thing about that is that's the first weekend of Bruins playoffs. If it can be, because the Bruins are going to open the playoffs either the 10th or the 11th.
Mm-hmm.
If they have home ice, my guess is I'm just guessing. No, I don't know a single thing. I'm going to guess it's Thursday. They'll go Thursday, Saturday, hockey night in Canada, et cetera, whatever with Toronto.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So it's just hard for me to take that whole day and to go play. Now, if there's a way to play an early game or whatever, or maybe miss one day and play in the other day, I'll be there in a heartbeat to play in it.
Because these guys, so
I'll be there in a heartbeat.
For the people to hear it, it is a hockey tournament that raises money. You buy in if you're a team, and it's first responders, it's firefighters, military, and police.
Yeah.
However, each team is allowed one non-any of those, like one civilian. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people bring ringers, you know, college players. And I mentioned, I was like, what about Billy Jaffe? And then I thought to myself, I haven't seen you play.
Well, I'm turning 50 next 2 weeks from now. I'm a 50-year-old. I used to be heavy. I got two more weeks to get back to my playing weight. Ted and I were talking about it last week, and I'm hoping to be there by the time I don't know if I will by the time I hit 50. 218 is where I want to be.
How often do you actually like play?
You know, lately I've been games. I play. I don't play in men's leagues. I just don't want to play in those, and they're too late. They don't work out well for my schedule.
Is it because people want to take out Billy Jaffe? Like everyone wants to take out the star.
No, I don't think that. I think that it's just, I don't want to deal with the BS that does happen once in a while in there. I don't want to be the guy that, I don't know. There's, you know, there's some great leagues where guys don't do stuff, and then, but there's a lot of times there's always the one guy that does something.
Sure.
And I'm just like, you don't need that. But I skate with a wonderful group of guys if I can once, maybe twice. It's hard during season, twice a week.
Do you play hard?
Blue Gold. Yeah, I play hard. You know why? Because I love it. For that hour and 15 minutes, there's not another issue in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's I still love it. I played a couple of years ago in this tournament overseas that got really, you know, I started skated for. I played five, it was 20-minute period stop time games. Not contact, but there was bumping, but there wasn't full hitting. And it was awesome. But meanwhile, at the end of it, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm dead tired. You know? But and if I during the season, once a week, I take a group of anywhere from 3 to 8 guys out, and we do drills for an hour early in the morning. And I love that, too, because that's actually you work on things and you get a workout in that's better than just going out and playing, you know, bad pickup.
Sure.
I play with this great group, a guy by the name of Sandy Milley, whose brother is the U.S. Chief of Staff. Now the entire in charge of the whole military, Mark Milley, great guys up in Woburn, Blue Gold, it's called. And some of the guys are older, so maybe I feel good about myself.
but every rec league's got a Captain Hardo. Does this?
Yeah. No, this doesn't. No, these are awesome guys. These are awesome guys. And
have you met Captain Hardo in a different league?
Every league has one.
Okay. What's been the worst case of the guy showing up?
I remember. This is going back a long time. We were in Atlanta.
Okay.
And I skated a couple. I would skate more with the guys that were there over the summer, the Thrashers that were there. I would train with them on Tuesday and Thursdays in the morning a lot, especially in August. And then I played one game in this league and at Duluth at the Ice Forum up there.
Right.
And some kid's running around with a full mask. Okay, and I've got either nothing or a half shield on or whatever.
Sure.
And that's the first signal that something's off.
Well, I'm okay with that, but just don't run around. Yeah, just play. Play hard.
Yeah.
And he starts jabbing people. But meanwhile, I was playing with this other guy. His name was Cam. I think his last name was Brown, who had played one or two games in the NHL, but he was a tough, tough minor leaguer. And he was living up there, too. Really nice guy. He just finally had it. And I kind of stuck one guy. I'm like, I'm not fighting. I'm like, stop. Meanwhile, next thing I know, he's grabbing a guy and throwing him down during the game and everything. And I'm
he's
like,
put the bottom of his stick into the ribs of guys.
Oh, no, like, worse than that. He's grabbing a guy and he starts throwing bombs on him. And I'm just thinking.
But the full cage tipped you off. This guy came.
Well,
like,
he could play, though, this guy. Remember? Okay, and he was a kid. I think he was just out of college or just in or whatever. And I'm just thinking, last thing I need is, and it's a small hockey community in Atlanta, was, you know, Thrashers broadcaster, you know, takes a stick and two hands some guy or gets into fights. I just don't think we needed that, you know.
Okay. So there's a small circle that you trust.
That's exactly. You find a group.
Okay.
You find a group that you trust and you play. And I'm always looking for good skates. If there's a little bump and it's awesome, a little jostling, it's fun. That's what I want. I want to come out of it soaked. I do. I want to come out of it soaked and competing. That's what I always believe that if you put $5 on the line for whichever team loses the series, let's say, everybody's got to pay $5, put it into a till, and twice a year you've got about $500 in the pot and you go out for a party. I think that $5 is all it takes. That's all it takes, right?
That's all you need.
Sure.
Get the juice.
I'm in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you are one of those people who's going to compete in the Heroes
Let's
Cup.
Let's find out. I'll get some details. Maybe I can work at least one. Is it 3 days or two?
It's a three-day tournament. Five games in 3 days.
Okay, so it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It is. Yeah.
Well, I could probably do Friday and Sunday. I could probably, if the team is willing to.
Take out the training wheels for that Saturday, and then you're the closer on Sunday. Right. I could see that.
I would absolutely. And look, I know I skate with a lot of, and I actually do a hockey camp for the Skate for 22. I'm pointing at this thing. We're on radio. I forgot. the sweatshirt that I'm wearing right here, that is a group of military veterans that come back and they use hockey as a way to reintegrate military personnel into the everyday life.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a fantastic group. And the reason it's called Skate for the 22 is that on average, 22 military veterans a day commit suicide.
Oh, yeah.
The good news is that it's down to about 20 or 21, but the name is still Skate for the 22. And so there's a gentleman by the name of Bobby Colleton who makes it all happen, who works it out. And I love these guys. They were at my adult hockey camp last year. This year, we're doing just a 3-day camp just for them as my hockey camps for adults have expanded. And by the way, they're almost filled. Go to warriorice.com. Please check it out. But I love these guys. So I know about these.
Get those guys together. Make that be your team. You already skate with the gang. You know, they're military. They qualify.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be there. They have so many of them. I'll talk to them. Maybe try and get. I'd love to. And somebody from the station actually reached out to me. I think it was yesterday as well to see if I could get involved some way. And I just haven't.
It's because it was my idea. Because I brought
You're
it up.
You're the big idea guy.
Yeah, I love it. I still love it.
I volunteered.
Love skating. I hope to play. I do. I literally hope I can play until I'm 80 years old.
Ever seen Dale Arnold on skates?
No.
You should take him out there.
I would like that. We would all like that as well.
Hey, Billy, I just got one thing for you. Any update on Torrey Krug? And I do have a thought. Like, is he going to get a bump next year? Like, he makes $5.5 million.
Well, he's got one more year left.
But I mean, But think about it. Is he really going to make more money than that? Will he get into Bergeron territory when it comes to his contract?
Well, that's going to be something that they're going to look at this offseason, and they're going to have to be one of the things they'll have to decide is where does that contract fit into their structure. I don't think right now, I mean, look, they're always looking ahead. You know it, I know it, Joe. They're always looking ahead. No update, though, on him, and except sure. the fact that he's starting to skate again. So it seems, emphasis on seems, without having seen him with my own eyes, that because he's been able to already start skating, that it's one of these, let's put him into protocol because we have to, but it's also the right thing, and let's be extra cautious about it. I'm hoping tomorrow to have an update.
All right, Billy Jaffe, Nesson, thanks for coming in.
Good to see you guys.
Good to see you as well.
And Steph are at the convention.
the convention where they put the keys in the punch bowl. they will be back next week. But appreciate
you
coming in.
Yeah.
Anytime anyone talks trash on Ben Roethlisberger, it's welcome here. And when it's Le'Veon Bell, it's even better. We have that audio. On top of that, some pretty big potential Conor McGregor news. We will have that in just a minute, right after the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listen, watch, react in real time. Toucher and Rich are on twitch.tv. Just follow the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, 985 of Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich, and this story just came across on TMZ. Apparently, Conor McGregor is going around saying that McGregor Diaz 3 is indeed going to happen. He was asked about it, and by the way, Nate Diaz is the one guy. So back in 2016, Diaz is the one dude that when you hear the two guys in a press conference, there is no more of a stark contrast on the trash-talking capabilities of both of them. Conor McGregor will go into this soliloquy about how Nate Diaz is the worst person in the world, and it'll take him like two straight minutes, and he'll rhyme things back and forth, and they'll go, what do you think, Nate Diaz? We're going to fight. And it'll just sit like that. Like, it's like, I'll kick his ass. But Nate Diaz...
No embellishing.
Nate Diaz is an absolute badass. If you didn't see them fight back in 2016... At UFC, I think it was 196, Conor was choked out and submitted. And so he beat him. However, Diaz agreed to a rematch in August of 2016 where Conor won, but it was a very controversial five-round decision. So now they're saying they're going to fight again. And now this is one of those things where the Floyd Mayweather thing was somewhat of a joke. Everyone knows that. And we all knew that what it was going to end up being. Although I thought it was better. It exceeded the low expectations of everyone. This is a real fight. Like this is going to be the highest grossing UFC pay-per-view in history if this does indeed happen. I mean, because right now it's what's his name, Habib, and McGregor. That I think that is the highest grossing one. Yeah. But even then, everyone wanted to see him fight Diaz again, yeah. And it's because Diaz is such a—he's
crazy.
He does.
He kicks ass. He smokes weed and he kicks ass. That's what he does.
I mean, this is like Nate Diaz right here after the fight.
Nate Diaz, you just shook up the world. How's that feel?
I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
Once again, not the most well-spoken human being, but which makes it fantastic. The two of them, that will be an excellent fight. There's no date set, but I mean...
Give me Diaz, by the way, in that fight.
I think so, too. Yeah. I mean, that was another one where... Diaz beat McGregor.
Yeah.
I think,
but if they fought again, I'd go Diaz all day.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I would, too.
I think his loss to Habib is... That's it. Like, McGregor is going everywhere. He's going to sell his whiskey or whatever. Like, I think he's going to go Ronda Rousey level. Like, he was a star. He's, will be that name, that face. But as far as fighting, I think could be the end.
I think he's been very smart transitioning to selling like his whiskey.
Yeah.
Because look at all the people who've gotten wealthy on buying into some sort of liquor. I know that George Clooney has made more money selling his, what was it? It wasn't tequila. I forget what kind of alcohol it was, but he made, I think it was something like 10 times more money selling his share in this liquor company than he ever did in acting. And there's a bunch of other people. Sammy Hagar, believe it or not, his Cabo Wabo tequila, I think has earned him like twice as much money as he ever made in Van Halen or touring solo. So, I mean, and he made a ton of money doing that. So that's going to be one thing.
The Ronda Rousey thing, though, is interesting. I feel like she fighted Holly Holmes? Like ripped her heart out.
Yeah.
Like literally ripped her heart out, man, and like made her doubt everything that she'd ever been doing up mm-hmm. to that point. And so she was never the same fighter. Was it Khabib, the last fight, I don't know if it ripped Conor McGregor's heart out, right? I don't know if it, but it maybe made him think, well, I'm not as immortal as I thought.
And that's the sport. Like, people love UFC. I watch it all the time. I bet the dogs. I always win. But the other thing on that is someone's always at the top. They get knocked off and someone else comes up. Yeah. These guys don't stay at the top very long.
On top of that, it's going to be an entertaining fight.
Oh, I'll watch it. I'll pay to watch it.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, if you would have just told me right now, name any two people you want to see fight in the UFC, it would have been the rematch.
How about McGregor Manny Pacquiao in a boxing fight? In a boxing match?
McGregor might win that.
Yeah, I'd love to watch that. I'd be all in.
I don't want to see him box anymore. I don't.
Is it Manny going to fight again soon?
Yeah.
Now Floyd versus McGregor in a UFC octagon, that I'd of course pay to see. I know it would never happen. But if you ask me, if we're going to combine the two worlds, of course. Because Mayweather then would finally get his ass kicked at that moment, and that moment only. All right, so Le'Veon Bell talked to Sports Illustrated about his last few... I guess it's been an entire year he sat out, and they asked what the hell was going on during that time. We have a bunch of it, but I just do want—I want to play this.
I took some time off when I figured I wouldn't come back. I took time off. I stopped. I didn't play basketball. I didn't run, jump, nothing. I was literally chilling. I was just focused on music for about 2 months, and then around like mid-December. I start back with my training, getting back right and things like that.
So you said you took a little time off training. There was obviously a report out there that you were 260 at one point. Right. Just were you ever that many pounds?
No. When that report came out, it was just funny because I'm thinking, like, nobody ever seen me step on a scale. So how would anybody know? It's like, things like that is like, I don't ever entertain it just because it's funny.
What was the highest you weighed in that break from working out?
Honestly, I don't know. Probably like 240.
Okay, all right. So just Le'Veon Bell just at one point said, you know what, I'm eating. I'm not even going to try to work.
I'm not doing anything.
See, okay.
I'm sitting on my ass.
That's not, okay. Ted, as a professional athlete, would that be in your genetics, just as the way you're wired? If you were kind of, I guess, leveraging at that point, could you do that? Could you just take 2 to 3 months off from exercising?
No, it's so ingrained. But there's guys that a lot of guys I played with were just so naturally gifted. They just show up, man, and they wouldn't work out as hard as you might think. They would just, and they were some of the best players. There's some guys that were meatheads and gym rats that would very much saw that as a huge way to improve their game. Most guys would never take 2 months, 2 weeks. Never 2 months off.
I just can see the Jets front office right now going, nice interview there.
Oh, yeah.
This is the guy I'm glad we signed. Oh, my God. So on top of that,
they're going to run him into the ground, too.
Yeah, they will. This is him talking about his relationship with the Steelers. Do you have it over there, Dan? Actually, we'll play it when we get back because this is worth hearing. He talks about Ben Roethlisberger, and apparently nobody likes Ben Roethlisberger. We'll play that right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
No parents, no rules, no shirts, and best of all,
it's
Sports Toucher and Rich.
I read you loud and clear.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. We've got Joe Murray's been in on this morning, and Ted Johnson. And I want to play this real quick before we get out of here. This is a small part of a recorded interview that I think is Jenny Vrentas. I hope I'm pronouncing her last name correctly. She's with Sports Illustrated. She sat down with Le'Veon Bell. And so he's asked about, you know, why did you choose the New York Jets? So he starts off in that direction and immediately veers into crap on Steelersville. And I'm all in on that. Oh, and the computer was just shut off. All right, Dan. That's nice. Well, let's just play this part.
We're trying to track down another problem, and that computer just literally went.
Well, you know, it's spying on you. It's recording you now. That's why. It's been the glitched. But here's this is actually part of our hair.
I was thinking, like, I was just not going to come week one. That was my original goal, original plan in my head. But certain things leading up to week one, certain things is like, why would you, like, why that happen? Like, why would you say that? It's like, you know what I'm trying to do.
So your initial plan was to report after week one. Mm-hmm. And sitting out 1 week would, what, sort of reduce the workload or show the team that they missed you? Or?
At first I was literally just thinking, like, I want to play camp. Because camp and OTAs, I haven't went to camp or OTA, so I'm just, like, preserving my body. I'm like, I'm not playing. But I'm just thinking, like, you know, when week one come, I'm going to come on, but things kind of laid up the week one. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to play week one. It's just kind of like certain build-up. So it's not making me feel comfortable, like, over the course of the time. That's what I'm getting at. It's like, I can't even remember, like, little details or little things that was happening, but just leading up to week one or when they was in camp and I wasn't and I was training, just leading up to that, it's kind of like, I'm cool. And then week two will come on, I'm cool. And then it got to a point where it's like, I'm going to come back after the bye week. I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to come back after the bye week. And then, you know, new information that came out that I feel like that was real important to me. I heard that I didn't even have to play to get credited. I mean, not a credited season, but I didn't even have to play, and I wouldn't have to get – they would have to use another franchise tag on me. So that's when I got to the point, it's like, oh, yeah, if I don't got to come back, then I'm not going to come back.
And the Jets are going, this is our guy.
Oh, yeah. The love of this, the commitment from this guy. And it's funny, dude, I've never seen a locker room turn on one of its best players.
Yeah.
Like, the Steelers locker room turned on Le'Veon Bell. All right, training, excuse me, you're going to miss some of training camp. Guys get it. You missed the first game. Okay, now your absence is affecting our, you know, whether or not we're going to win or lose games now. And to go as long as the longer he didn't show up, the more and more guys started sniping at him, man. And I've never seen his own teammates go after a guy and criticize a guy like the Steelers teammates did for Le'Veon Bell.
Well, you said it this morning. You don't ever question a guy's quest for their money. You know, right. It's like when you don't talk about their contracts or anything like that. Yep. So this was one of the rare times where a dude was trying to sit out to get more cash, yeah, and his teammates are like, F that
calling guy. Calling him out, man. Calling him out. You never see that.
That is a Mike Tomlin locker room, baby. Yeah. And that is as symptomatic as it gets. You've got Antonio Brown filming during his speech during the playoffs. Remember that? And then the jackassery just continued. And apparently in this interview, he started crapping on Ben Roethlisberger as well, calling him not a leader. What was the story that he apparently...
Yeah, him and Todd Haley got into it about a year or so ago, and he didn't agree with the play, so he fumbled the snap on purpose. Was one of them, just because he didn't like Todd Haley's call on it.
That's awesome.
And then Haley,
he wanted
of course,
to kneel down. Yeah,
yeah. And Haley, of course, went to Cleveland, got fired last year as well. So I don't like either of those guys, Todd Haley or
at least Haley's entertaining. At true. Least like on TV, he was Haley, really
Haley's, a, Haley's a dick.
Yeah, but you're a fan of his, though. You like him, right?
I kind of like him because he's got an edge. I liked him when he went to Cleveland because it's at least gets football and it just showed you how stupid Hugh Jackson is.
Sure.
But I used to be in those receiver meetings with Corbett and Keyshawn Johnson, and Haley was trying to coach up Keyshawn, and he was yelling at Keyshawn. Keyshawn, like, man, don't yell at me. Go pick one of rookies yell at.
I can see here, Keyshawn
young ass coach trying to tell me what to do. Throw me the damn ball.
By the way, I need you to weigh in on this, God Zolak. So I tweeted this out earlier.
Yeah.
Who had the better costume there? I have two Halloween costumes between. It would be Ted Johnson as the Hulk and Joe Murray as the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. There's
I saw
the first
it.
One. Okay, so the...
What is your bet?
Oh, I'd go with Ted. Go with Ted because you just think that's just pure green muscle, man.
Yeah, Ted Johnson, by the way, getting his ass kicked. I'm sorry. Ted Johnson killing it. Yeah. He had 236 votes to Joe Murray's 24.
Look how clenched Ted's teeth were.
Victory. It's just one small victory.
Yeah. It would have been great if you could have brought on that little leprechaun, Conor McGregor, walk around with you. You know, you could have been like the big bulldog, and he could have been like the little
master blaster.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she was strong.
So what you got going on the show today, Mr. Zolak?
Everybody's dropping like flies. Hardy's sick again. Beetle's not here. He's doing some stuff. Whoa. So it's me and...
you and Sarge?
Me and Red.
No.
Okay. Jesus, I had to suffer 4 hours with Mike O'Brien yesterday on the headlines. Talk about a guy that's really, really stiff.
You're very,
that's
very
him getting excited. Yeah, doing those headlines. You're trying to get him to get more excited.
Sarge could do the headlines. Now, there's something going on with wrestling that's coming up where Jimmy and Sarge are trying to make money off it. We're going to talk about it at 10:50.
Well, they have a scheme.
Because it's got some legs.
I like it.
It's like weirdo scheme number one. Okay, right. Yeah, it's like when your two friends, like one thing you would do is make a lemonade stand, you know, or bake cookies and sell them. This is like grown men coming up with some sort of a weird scheme to make money.
Ooh, maybe you could take a picture with Sarge in his belt.
That might be it.
You could charge for it.
It's kind of it.
Okay.
Sarge looks like the cat that needs a canary in there.
Problem is, when he comes to your seat, he may not leave.
Oh, so you can pay to have Sarge come to your seat and take a picture with you?
Well, it started to go down a different road yesterday where I started to think, what would I actually charge at, like, Patriots games, like 2 hours prior to it, and maybe have some chicken fingers, add some money.
Sarge will make money with that. People will pay to have Sarge come to the seat.
I pay Sarge no way.
Yeah, Rich, one thing before we got here. I'm sure you guys have some news on Mookie Betts. Just talked about his contract. Mentioned he doesn't expect anything till he's a free agent.
We'll see.
So many answers.
So little time. They just gave $430 million to a guy most people wouldn't recognize. All right, we will see you tomorrow. Once again, Joe Murray, Ted Johnson in studio with us. We'll see you guys. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.